Still for the Beit Nazmanim.
We're going to learn Mishnayis Rosh Hashanah. And we're in Perek Gimel.
I'll just close the door here so hopefully the air conditioning will kick in.
Perek Gimel. And we discussed already Mishnah Vav, which was Shofish and Nizdak. And we spoke about possibilities of qualifying of
but I have a question. What happens if it's not much like a hairline crack?
Right, so as long as it doesn't change, it doesn't alter the kol shofar, you're going to need the expert who knows what the kol shofar is meant to sound like, then it's fine. But and we're talking about...
Then you have to mean if it's cracked this way or cracked this way?
Yes. So the Gemara says...
If it's cracked that way, you cut it.
Right. If it's cracked on the rochav, you just cut it off. You know, even in this case of a nekev, you can be machshir it. Okay. So that was the discussion we had. Now we move on to Mishnah Zion. And Mishnah Zion establishes that you must hear the call of the shofar itself. You cannot be yotze the mitzvah of shofar by hearing the echo. That's called kol havara. Now here we have a machlokas, we have a big controversy about how to figure out, you know, what is there a way of establishing, did I hear the kol shofar or did I hear the echo? How does one know such a thing? The Rush is of the opinion that
from the shofar itself, or an echo like from this.
Oh, so it's inside. You blew the shofar inside a bar. A bar is something that's subterranean, you know, like a cellar or what we call an underground machsan or a miklat. And the Rush says it all depends where you were located to hear the shofar. So the person who was blowing the shofar was inside the bar. But where was the person who was listening to the shofar? And the Rosh says, depends. If he was inside the bar together with the blower, so you have the mashmiya and the shomer. Again, if they're all in the same area, then we assume, says the Rosh, that he heard the kol shofar. But if on the other hand, he's outside the bar, he's on what's called Sfas HaBar, and he's listening from the Sfas HaBar, then the assumption is that the sounds of the shofar bounced off the walls of the bar, and what he heard already was some sort of admixture of a kol havara of the echo. So the Rush says it doesn't depend upon what you think you heard. We're not going to say, Adoni, my master, what did you hear? Did you hear the kol shofar? Did you hear the echo? That's irrelevant. It all depends on where you are located. That's the Rush. But all the other Rishonim disagree with the Rush. They say that you could be inside the bar, and you might not even hear the kol shofar, you might hear the kol havara. You could be outside the bar, and you could hear the kol shofar. And the person who's listening, he himself, has to make that call, as we say. He's going to have to determine whether, again, in all honesty, whether he can't fool himself, because then he's not yotze the mitzvah, but he should be very careful and try to figure out whether or not he heard the kol shofar or the kol havara. Let's just see it inside so we make sure we got it right. If you take a look here, he says, "Im kol havara shama lo yotze klomar, shekol ha-shomea tkiya shofar." Right, lo yotza. It's over here, lo yotza. Kol shomea tkiya shofar mipi hatokel toch habor. Einu yotzi do chavasa elim kain barlo. Interesting. Barlo means he has to be absolutely convinced, certain beyond the shadow of a doubt. Sheshama kol shofar velo kol havara. And therefore the Gemara says that those people who are listening to the shofar, they have to really evaluate, you know, as we said before, in all honesty, what did they hear? And that's how the Rambam paskens. So let's read the Rambam. The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Shofar says, Atokea betocha bar, o betocha ma'ara. Ma'ara is a little different than a bar. A bar is more or less like a cylinder shape. You know, it's a round shape. A ma'ara is something longer, but the common denominator between both a bar and a ma'ara is that the sound bounces off the walls to the left and to the right, meaning you're standing below the walls that surround you. If you take a look in the Mishnah has a third case, a dus.
Could be in a big shul also.
Yeah, it could be sometimes even in a shul. You might have situations where the person is situated in such where the shofar blower blows against the wall and somehow the sounds bounce back. But the classical case, according to the Rush and even the Rambam, is b'toch habor. But the Mishnah says b'toch hadus. What's a dus? And what's the difference between a bar and a dus? And then he has a third case, o litocha pitom. What's a pitom? So we have three cases here. We got bar, we have dus, and we have pitom. So bar is a chafiras adam. I'll be with you in just a second. I just want to get the three cases. So bar means he blew the shofar when he dug something underground. And dus is a little bit different. Dus, he says, is not that he dug into the ground itself, but rather that he built walls and he surrounded a certain area with walls or with melet. Melet is some sort of a concrete substance. And that's called a dus. That's the Rashbam and Baba Basra. But everybody disagrees with the Rashbam, and they say that a dus doesn't have to be something where he built absolute strong walls, but any time that he has what's called a makom mukof mechitzos, a place that's surrounded by walls, that's called a dus. And what's a pitom or a pitas? Haynu chavis gedola shel cheres. Imagine, they had a barrel that was so large, and it was made of earthenware, a barrel. And yet, it was large enough such that you could enter into this barrel and stand there and blow the shofar. And according to the Rush, there are other people in the same barrel. You know, it's very... And Rav Haigon says, and we mentioned this last time, that this kind of a question is actually relevant during persecution times in Jewish history, when Jews had to go into hiding to blow the shofar.
Are they even allowed to blow the shofar in that context?
So that's a good question. There's something called Shas HaShmad. Right, but Shas HaShmad has its own rules and regulations, meaning that people gave up their lives during Shas HaShmad when the persecution was, you know, they were trying to undermine the Jewish religion for even the smallest kind of mitzvahs. Like, for example, during the Roman period, during the Greek period, even during Hanukkah, and certainly during the Holocaust, we know of people who gave up their lives for the simplest mitzvahs, which normally you would not do for tefillin or shofar and so forth, but people did because it was a Shas HaShmad. Shas HaShmad has its own, you know, that's the V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha.
I guess without being related to it, in the Holocaust, it's something to understand. I mean, okay, unfortunately, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, were gathering everyone, and it was Shabbos. You weren't going to let them.
Shabbos.
Yeah. Right, I mean, you were going to let them dictate lives. Like, in fact, when I was down by Starot and the army, they were making up Nasa Sefer Torah. The army came in that day and said, the situation is too bad. Hamas is firing rockets in Starot. The rabbi answers, says, we're doing the Nasa Sefer Torah. Hamas doesn't tell us when to continue.
Right. All right, maybe he felt it was a Shas HaShmad. I don't know. Generally speaking, we don't endanger lives, you know, even for the great mitzvah Nasa Sefer Torah.
No, that's what I'm asking here. In terms of shofar, if you go down to Bora, and even in terms of persecution, even if you're persecuted where you're not really gathered and they'll leave you alone, but then you hear shofar something, or then, you know, whatever.
Correct.
People come.
Right. But people were being murdered daily, so they felt that if they could create some sort of subterranean thing on Rosh Hashanah, that was the last vestige of Yiddishkeit.
You
know. So I mentioned last time in URT, so we spoke about Theresienstadt, you know, which is in Czechoslovakia.
Right.
And to this day, if you visit Theresienstadt, where the Nazis murdered 30,000 Jews daily, you can see where they dug a bar, an underground subterranean. That's where they blew shofar, and it still stands today.
Really?
It's amazing how they did it. And there are many stories. I don't know if you've ever heard of a book called Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust by Mrs. Elia. She won many prizes for that book. It's an amazing piece of literature. But she speaks about different camps and how they smuggled in shofar, you know, in order to blow on Rosh Hashanah, and where they would hide from the Nazis. And these were people, most of these people didn't survive. The only reason we know these stories, you know, they're only documented by the very, very few. You know, you're talking about 0.001% of the population that survived and were able to tell us these stories.
So I heard a story once that was in the prayer camp. One guy puts a piece in the officer says, tomorrow is Yom Kippur, I would not going to eat. So he tells the jury. So he said, no. Now what's the jury going to do? You know, what's he going to do? So he said, the jury says, okay, all those Jews who do not want to eat tomorrow, step forward.
If you step forward.
Now what's he going to do? I don't know what he's going to do.
Right.
So he said, okay, you don't have to do it.
Really? Wow. Unfortunately, yeah. that wasn't the general case.
Right.
All right, v'chein. Now the Mishnah goes on. Let's see if we can finish this Mishnah.
On a practical level, yeah. If you hear shofar outside the shul,
right. That's the next part of the Mishnah. V'chein, mishaya over achorei beis hakneses. He was walking on the outside of a shul. Oshaya beiso sobach lebeis hakneses. He was located close to the beis hakneses in his own house. V'shoma kol shofar. I'm going to skip the next three words. We'll come right back to it. Im kivein libo yotza. If he had the intention of his mind, he fulfilled the mitzvah. Lav lo yotza. Afal pisha zesh shama v'zesh shama. You could have two cases, two people both heard the same identical shofar. Nevertheless, one is yotza, one is not. What's the difference? Zeh kiven libo v'zeh lo kiven libo. So let's go back to the three words that I skipped. O kol megillah. Now, this is Mishnah's Rosh Hashanah, and it's very single-mindedly focused on the laws of Rosh Hashanah, but here, for some reason, Rav Yehuda HaNasi, in writing the Mishnah, decided to take a little bit of a detour and to introduce Kol Megillah, the Mitzvah Megillah. It's the night of Purim, or the day of Purim, and I pass by Shul, and I hear the Megillah. I'm outside the Shul. And the Mishnah says the same law applies, and it's conditional. If you had kavanah, you're yotzi. If you're not, you're not yotzi. So the Mefarshim go to town here. Why did the Mishnah feel compelled to mention Megillah this time? And there's a fascinating approach to the Rishonim here, which I wanted to share with you. The Mishnah wants to tell us that this halacha that requires kavanah, that prerequisite that unless you had kavanah, you're not yotzei. It's only if you had kavanah, you're yotzei. That's not a special halach in shofar, but it applies in other mitzvahs as well. Had the Mishnah omitted those three words, O kol Megillah, we would have come to the mistaken conclusion that only in shofar you have to have kavanah. And the Rishonim ask why. Why would I come to this wild conclusion that shofar is different than any other mitzvah? We have, for example, many places in Shas. The Gemara wants to know. You want to just open the door? Maybe it'll be easier for you. We have it in an issue all over Shas. You'll find it in many sugyas, not just here in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, about whether mitzvah is tzrichas kavanah or ain't tzrichas kavanah. Is kavanah, is intention, an absolute requirement, or is it not? And this machlokas in the Gemara continues through the Rishonim, the Poskim. I mean, this machlokas keeps surfacing all over the place. But some Rishonim want to say that even if I hold mitzvahs and tzrichas kavanah, meaning I don't need kavanah, all I need is the physical, mechanical act of the mitzvah, and I obtain the fulfill the mitzvah. But nevertheless, shofar is different. Why? Why would shofar be different? So if you take a look in the psukim in the Torah, there are two psukim that mandate the mitzvah of shofar. One says, Yom Trua Yelachem, this day should be a day of Trua. And the other pasuk says, Zichron Trua Yelachem. And Chazal wonder, what is Zichron Trua and how is it different than Yom Trua? And the Yerushalmi has a very fascinating approach. According to the Yerushalmi, as a general rule, it's Yom Trua Yelachem. The exception is when Rosh Hashanah coincides with Shabbos. And then it becomes Zichron Trua. What does it mean? We don't blow the shofar on Shabbos, that's the Yerushalmi, but rather we leave the mitzvah of shofar out and we remember the shofar. And that's called Zichron Trua. The Torah uses that term Zichron Trua to teach us that now that Rosh Hashanah Chalios for Shabbos, we're not going to blow the shofar, we're going to remember the shofar. That's called Zichron Trua. So according to the Yerushalmi, it comes out something fascinating. And the Bavli is so different than the Yerushalmi at this point. The Bavli says that if Rosh Hashanah coincides with Shabbos, we don't blow shofar for a gzera derabbanan. This is the famous gzera of Rabbah. We're afraid that if a person will blow shofar on Shabbos, he'll go to a baki, an expert will teach, and he'll carry it from Rosh Hashanah to another Rishus HaYochid through a Rishus HaRavim. And when you carry something for Avos and Rishus HaRavim, Yechayv Mishum Aleches Mavir, which is a told of Hotzah. Fine. That's a Gzeirah Derabbanon, and the Gemara talks about how could the Rabbanon be Oker Mitzvah Doraisa, how can they completely undermine this Mitzvah, and that's the whole sugya there about Yesh Koch B'Yad Chachamim, Lakar Dov Min HaTorah, and it applies even on Lulav. Lulav is a Mitzvah Doraisa, but if the first day, which is a Mitzvah Doraisa of Lulav, coincides with Shabbos, we don't take the Lulav, that's based on Gzeirah Derabbah. The Yerushalmi, on the other hand, is operating without Gzeirah Derabbah. The Yerushalmi is operating with the premise that really we should not be blowing shofar. Why aren't we blowing shofar on Shabbos? Because the Torah says Zichron Shua. And the Torah, by saying Zichron Shua, is commanding us not to blow the shofar, but rather in replacement to remember the shofar. And all this might have something to do with our discussion about the person who walks by the Beis HaKnesses and he happens to hear the shofar blowing. Because if the mitzvah is Zichron Shua, then that makes it a whole different kind of mitzvah. Let me explain. Every mitzvah has two parts to it. One part is the mitzvah act, what we call the Maisa mitzvah, and the other part is the kavanas halev, meaning the way I feel about it, my connection, my intention. And it could very well be that in all mitzvahs, with the exception of one, that's shofar, it's enough, it's sufficient to do the act of the mitzvah, even without the kavanah, without the mental intention. Why? Because the Maisa Mitzvah is the primary mode of the Mitzvah. Again, we would like l'chatchil that you should embellish the Mitzvah, upgrade it, and the perfect Mitzvah B'Shleimus would be with Kavanah.
Every Mitzvah. Right?
Every Mitzvah. But Shofar is different.
If you put up Tefillin without Kavanah, you did it then.
And the Maisa of Hanochas Tefillin, it's on your body, everything is there, you Yotze, even without Kavanah. You took the Lulav, you shook the Lulav. Everything's fine. You ate the Matzah, everything's wonderful. But Shofar is different. Why? Because in shofar, it doesn't just say Yom Shua Yelochem. It's not just the mechanical act of blowing the shofar, but also Zichron Shua. The Torah wants you to connect and remember the Shua, remember the shofar. And I heard once from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, he gave a shiur once in which he said that he thinks that shofar is similar to one other mitzvah, which also requires kavana, tefillah. That prayer requires kavanah. If you read the words out of the Siddur and you have no clue because your mind is wandering, you're thinking about who knows what, you're not yotzi the mitzvah of tefillah. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Dalet. The Rambam says, "Kol tefillah v'lo kavanah, lav tefillah." So Rav Soloveitchik wanted to suggest that shofar also is a kiyum of tefillah. That's why he says there's no other mitzvah besides shofar that we integrate into tefillah. This is what's called shofros al seder tefillah, meaning in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, whether it's Chazor Sashatz or the still Shmoneh Esrei, the prior, that depends on different minhagim, but everybody agrees that we're going to blow the shofar during the Shmoneh Esrei. So the Rav asked, could you imagine eating matzah in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei? Could you imagine reading the Megillah in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei? Could you imagine shaking a lulav in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei? It would be an absolute hefsek, interrupting your tefillah. So how is it that shofar is the only mitzvah that's singled out with the yichus that it's integrated into tefillah? And then he asked another question. The Gemara says that the nusach of tefillah is Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefillah. And the nusach of shofar, at the end of shofros, which was integrated to the musaf service on Rosh Hashanah, is Baruch Atah Shomea Kol Tkiyasenu. So the same word shmiya that we talk about Hashem listening to the tefillah, which means Hashem hearkens to our prayers, that's our fundamental belief, that word was deliberately chosen with regard to one other mitzvah, and that's shofar, that Hashem is shomea kol tkiyasenu. He hears and he hearkens to our tkiyah. And the reason why there's such a great similarity, that both in the case of tefillah, where we require kavana, and called tefillah below kavana lav tefillah, without kavana it's meaningless, and in shofar also, we're going to say that you have to have kavana latzeis, and in tefillah we're going to use the nusach of shomea tefillah, and in shofar we're going to say shomea kol tkiyasenu. Rav Soloveitchik said that proves that shofar requires some sort of an emotional involvement. It's not just enough to have the mechanical blowing of the shofar and listening to the shofar, you have to be somewhat connected, you know, some intention, some focus, in order to make it into a tefillah, to make it into a kind of a prayer in front of Hashem. And therefore I think the Mishnah asked itself the following question. So what would be in Megillah? I'm walking by the shul and I hear the Megillah. Go ahead.
So it's actually a very interesting word. And using that word Shema, there's a problem with the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is assuming one-sided thing, meaning the person who's walking by the shul or he's walking by the shul and even in Megillah, and he just happens to hear the Megillah and the shofar. He's Yotzei. And let's even say the person has full intention that he wants to be Yotzei, Yotzei the mitzvah of Megillah and Shoma and
shofar.
The Baal Tokeah, yeah, and the Baal Kriya have to know that he's outside.
Oh.
Isn't that right? In other words, isn't that how exactly it works? Meaning, especially in Baal Tokeah, we understand that he has to have everyone else in mind for someone to be Yotzei.
So Yisrael is asking the following question. He says, there are two people have to have kavanah. It's not enough that I, listening to the shofar walking by, have kavanah. What about the tokeah? He also says that.
If you're listening, right?
Like that is. That is true, but only if you're going to eat the apple.
Right.
Too many things going on here at once. Let me go back to this point. Wait, one second. Leave out the apple for a second. We'll get to the apple. But before we get to the apple, so I wanted to show you, again, I should have photocopied this, but if you take a look, Hoil, do you have something called Hoil? I'm sorry, you have a slightly different print than I have. Just one second. Here it is. Here it is.
He's not
take a look. Hoil. You see this word Hoil?
No, but he has to know that everyone is there.
Look, your question is right here. Hoil ushliach tzibur hu, meaning the person who's blowing the shofar or reading the Megillah inside the shul, is a shliach tzibur. Emphasize that word tzibur. Haredato lahotzi kol hashomim.
Afilu.
Even someone who's outside the Beis HaKnesses. Meaning, he is in charge of the tzibur. The tzibur is not limited to the four walls of the Beis HaKnesses. The tzibur includes all of Klal Yisrael, wherever they are. Kol HaShomer. But the reason he adds this line, Yisrael, is to answer your question. Okay, so the Shomer was Mechavin, but what about the Mashmir? What about the Tokeah? So he adds this line that the Tokeah is a Shliach Tzibur. Now, what happens if it's not a Shliach Tzibur? Let's say you and I get together in the back of the shul, and you say to me, Rabbi Berzon, you know how to blow the shofar. Do me a favor, blow it for me.
I'm not
the shliach tzibur. The tzibur has its own shliach tzibur. So now somebody goes by the outside of the Beis Knesses. He hears me blowing for you. He's not yotzi. Why? Even if he has kavana, I didn't have kavana to be motzi. And like you said before, you saw there's a double condition here. We require not only that the shomer have kavana, but even the mashmir has kavana. But let me just backtrack, because I think I missed my point about Megillah. I want to get back. So why did the Mishnah, again, this was that question, why did the Mishnah feel compelled to add the case of Megillah here in Masechta Rosh Hashanah? The answer is because the Mishnah wants to exclude a mistaken impression that you could have derived from this Mishnah. You might have mistakenly concluded that our Mishnah is only in Shofar. It has no application elsewhere. Shofar requires Kavana. And if you weren't Mekavin, you're not Yotzei, because Zichron Trua, Amar Rachmona. The Torah said Zichron Trua. And Megillah, the Torah doesn't say Zichron Megillah, the Torah says just hear the Megillah. Or the Rabbana, whatever it is, but I'm saying there's a mechanical Maisa Mitzvah that would not require Kavana. Oh, Mashallah, the Mishnah says, nay, you're wrong. This is not a unique halacha to shofar because of Zichron Trua. This is a universal halacha in mitzvahs. Every mitzvah requires kavanah. But the problem is going to be, Rabbosai, that the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Matzah that if a person was forced to eat matzah on Pesach, even though he has no kavanah, the Rambam says yotzei. What are we going to do with that, Rambam? Meaning, how do I reconcile the Rambam with this Mishnah? The Mishnah says that not only in Kriyat Shema do I require Kavana, but even in the case of Megillah, I require Kavana. Meaning, don't mistakenly think that this is a unique halacha because it's Zichron Trua. No! It's a halacha that's universal in all mitzvahs. Mitzvahs require two things, the Maisa Mitzvah and the Kavana Latzei Sidei Chovasa. And here the Rambam is saying, even though he had no Kavana, somebody for strange reason forced him to eat matzah. Again, it's a weird case, but that was the case the Rambam addressed. It's based on the sugi here in Rosh Hashanah, Kofu Lechol Matzah. And the Rambam says, Yatza. How do we understand that? And now I'm forced to go in one of two directions. Either I'm forced to say that matzah is the exception to the rule, that for some reason, even though every other mitzvah requires kavana, for some reason matzah doesn't require kavana. Or the other way of approaching it is that not only is shofar the exception to the rule, but it's shofar plus megillah. And in these two mitzvahs we require kavana, and all the other mitzvahs we don't require kavana. You follow the two ways I want to go. So the first way that I want to go is the Ran. The Ran here in Rosh Hashanah wants to say that matzah is different. Why is matzah different? Because he ate the matzah. And when he eats the matzah, that itself is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of matzah. It's a separate halach and achila. Like I was wondering, according to the Ran, let's say on the first night of Sukkot, we're required to eat a kezias in the Sukkot, or kebesa, kezias, we'll see, that's what we want to study later on in Mitzvah. And yet, he didn't have kavan. Let's say he didn't have kavan.
But he's there. No, but in there.
Oh, but according to the Ran, that eating achila is different. You see, the Ran says that matzah is unique because of the mitzvah achila. And with regard to a mitzvah achila, I don't need kavana because his body is satiated, enjoys the benefit of this achila. That itself sets up the mitzvah. Meaning, you need kavana to engender a maisa mitzvah. But when it comes to achila, the achila itself sets itself up as a maisa mitzvah. And I don't need kavana. Oh, if that be the case, George, I can extend it to include the what?
If you didn't want to eat the matzah, you could.
No, but I'm just saying, he can't spit it out because the guy will blow his... But I'm just asking, is there another case that the Ran would accept as a mitzvah without kavanah because vachila is the only mitzvah in the Torah matzah? Do we have any other mitzvah vachila?
Oh,
the first night is
sukkah. Because he's there.
No. Again, the Ran is not saying because he's there. The Ran is saying because of the achila.
I don't understand.
The achila itself replaces kavan. That's the Ran.
I don't understand two things on that Ran. Okay, I could maybe understand the matzah a little bit, but first of all, for kavana, let's say he makes a shahakol on the matzah. Meaning, if there is a separate bracha that night to say al achilas matzah.
Right.
So if he just says hamotzi lechem min haaretz, is that according to the Ran considered kavana or not? And then the comparison on...
Again, if a man is putting a gun to his head, he's not saying any brokers at all. He's just trying to save his skin. That's the case.
Yeah,
the Rambam says...
Oh, that's the case according to the Ran?
No, I'm saying the Ran is explaining the Rambam. The Rambam writes that if they forced you, they compelled you to eat matzah on Pesach, you yotzei afal pishol kiven.
It's even under...
Duress. And the Ran says, why you yotzei, what happened to Kavana? Says around achila shiny. When you eat something and you have physical pleasure, you don't need kavanah.
But even in that case, if they gave you pork, you'd still be mechuyav to eat it.
Right. We're talking about whether you yotzei the mitzvah of matzah. Again, before we get to afikoman, I'm talking about the kezias matzah. Were you yotzei the mitzvah of ba'erev toklu matzah? The Rambam says yes. And the Rambam goes out of his way to say, even though you didn't have kavanah for the mitzvah. And the Ran says, what happened to the principle that's established here in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah that we're learning, that you need kavana for a mitzvah? And the Ran answers, because achila is different.
But how could he bring a proof of under duress for this principle of the Mishnah? It's a little bit far-fetched.
No, he's saying the following, that we're not bringing any proofs. We're just trying to reconcile the Rambam with this Mishnah. The Mishnah says we need kavana, and the Rambam says we don't need kavana. No, so how could the Rambam? The Rambam doesn't have the authority to disagree with the Mishnah. Says the Rambam understood that achila is different. Achila doesn't require kavana. Every other mitzvah requires kavana. The one exception is achila. So Berzon came along, and Berzon said, if I find another case of achila, where the mitzvah is achila, then the Ran's principle would be, I don't need kavana. I can be yotzei without kavana. No, where do I find another example of achila besides matzah? The night of Sukkot.
No, but that's.
That's how to say.
Achilles is different.
It's a category unto itself.
And whether it's under duress or not.
Right. Okay, that's right. No, I'm just saying. Okay, maybe Sudas Purim, maybe it's a mitzvah achilah. What about achilas kachim? You know, in the Beis HaMikdash, it was a mitzvah kachim, whether it was the Kohen who ate the kachim, in the case of kachim, in the case of chatos v'yasham, there's nechal l'zuchay kuna, whether it's a case of shlomim, where we divvy it up, you know, the Kohen eats part of it, and the Israel eats part of it, whatever it is, there's a mitzvah achilah. It's one of the Tariq mitzvahs to eat kachim. So what would be if I ate kachim without kavana? It's according to the Ran, I should be yotzei. Mitzvah strichas kavana, you must have kavana. Achil is different. Now in the case of sukkah, here I get a little bit confused because I'm not sure if the mitzvah is really achila. The Torah doesn't say eat in the sukkah. The Torah says teshvu. So yeshiva includes a whole myriad of actions. You know, walk around and talk to your friends and shmooze in the sukkah. You should eat, you should drink, you should sleep in the sukkah. There's so many different activities. Achila is just one example of many. The mitzvah, the ma'isa mitzvah might be achila, but the kiyum mitzvah is yeshiva v'sukkah. It's not an achila dika mitzvah. Yeah, I don't know if the mitzvah is achila. I don't know if the mitzvah is achila. But in any event, one thing is clear. The Ran wants to assume that the case of matzah, which the Rambam codifies in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, that's the exception to the rule. The rule is that every other mitzvah requires kavanah. But you can approach it from the opposite approach. That in truth, mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavanah. You yotzei mitzvah without kavanah. And the proof is because the Rambam says that matzah, you yotze without kavana. And matzah is just your paradigm to set up the rule that applies to all mitzvahs, you yotze without kavana. The two exceptions are shofar and megillah. Why? Why is shofar different? The answer is because it's zichron true. But why would megillah be different? That's the question. Why would it be such that megillah requires kavana and all other mitzvahs do not require kavana? And I'll tell you what it is, I think. Because we're not talking about someone who's reading the Megillah, we're talking about someone who's hearing the Megillah. Ein achinami, if someone would read the Megillah, he doesn't need kavanah. He'd be yotzei just like someone who eats matzah going to the Rambam is yotzei without kavanah. But to hear the Megillah and be yotzei, here you need kavanah. Why? Because the problem is that in the case of listening to the Megillah, you're not doing the ma'isa mitzvah. Yenim, somebody else is doing the ma'isa mitzvah. So the kavana is a prerequisite in order to link you up to him. There's Reuven who's reading the Megillah, or Reuven's blowing the shofar, and there's Shimon who's hearing the Megillah or hearing the shofar. Shimon has to be yotzei, we'll call it vicariously, you know, so to speak, through the kriya or the tekiah of Reuven. In such a case, you need kavana. Why? Because without kavana, your shmi is nothing. You didn't read the Megillah. You didn't blow the shofar. You have to somehow link yourself up. And that's why the Mishnah says that you need two kavanas. You need ta kavana of the tokeah, and you need takana of the shomea. Just that we said a shliach tzivu generally has this, you know, kavana that invites everyone in. Why do we need the kavana of both the tokeah and the shomea? Because we need to link them up to unify them.
That was my problem in the Mishnah. I guess I think it was Shliach, no, Shliach Sibur, is from my understanding, is the guy who goes up to the Davin for the Amid. Meaning that the Shliach Sibur is a defined
individual?
It's a defined individual, but and right. The Sibur is defined within the confines of the walls of the Shul or whatever.
That's where the Mishnah says now.
According to Mishnah, unless I miss something, where are we defining the Gevul layer?
That's what I'm saying. The Tzibur includes every Jew.
So this guy,
every Jew. So when I blow the shofar, or
this guy next door can neither be the black shofar at 9:45, 10:45, whatever. Step on his mafeset. Listen.
Well, again, I don't exclude anyone. If I'm the Shliach Tzibur, I have in mind the entire Tzibur. I don't care who's inside, who's outside. Basically, the Shliach Tzibur has to have the following mindset. Anyone who possibly could need my kriya, my tekiah, should be yotzei. I invite everyone. It's an open invitation.
So, okay.
If you're in the shul, you're outside the shul, you know. You're wearing shoes, you're wearing sneakers, even if you're wearing shorts.
I just came down from a ride, so I'm supposed to be
sure. But let's say a guy in Yerushalayim,
you get to know my
sense.
Something
according to this line in the mission,
yeah.
What this Sefer is, and I have another question. The guy in Yerushalayim is going to have in mind someone from Tel Aviv? No,
I don't know, it depends. You know, that could depend.
Can you listen to McGill on the radio?
Yeah, that's what I was going to just say. What happens with all these electrical kind of devices? You know, right. Skype, for example.
Today, there may be
halachic issues with violating Yontif with Skype. I don't know, but let's assume we can create a Skype. Let's say. No, I want to talk about Shofar, then we'll get to McGill. Go ahead.
Like, in other words, people are in the hospital now. According to this line, let's say you can't get about Tokea to
them. right,
and then all of a sudden they'll say, you know, at 11 o'clock, 10:30, whatever it is, they know their shul, what time it is being in shofar. They don't even hear the shofar according to the line.
What do you mean they don't hear the shofar? If they don't hear the shofar,
no,
then
that's what I'm saying.
No. What we're saying is that even though they're not inside the shul, but if they heard the shofar, let's not go too far. We can't push the envelope too far. You have to hear the shofar.
So the tzibur is defined by the physical boundary.
Hearing of the shofar, correct.
Where the shofar
is. Now, when you say Tel Aviv, now let's say I can hear the shofar in Tel Aviv. How? I don't know. But let's say I had some sort of electronic devices, which again, there's so many shilas when it comes to electric. Even shofar over a microphone, you should know, is an issue. I don't want to get off the tangent because that requires 50 hours of study. You'd have to be the greatest scholar to understand how electricity works.
That's an interesting shaila. McGill's an interesting shaila, but shofar, I was just thinking, that's what people are in the army. Meaning there are some fry units or even one or two units, even in a case, for example, where, you know what, it may be safer to hear the shofar through the microphone on Rosh Hashanah versus an actual shofar. What do? Say that?
But the one thing I want to emphasize for our purposes, that's relevant to our purposes, is that the blower, the shofar blower, has in mind everyone. He doesn't exclude anyone. Again, whether the soldiers heard the shofar and how they heard the shofar, that's not relevant to our discussion.
No,
but what's relevant to our discussion is that the tzibur blows the shofar for whom? For everyone. There's no prejudice, there's no one excluded.
Not those congregants in Yisrael.
He's not limited to anyone. There's no limitation whatsoever. Now, my Rebbe quoted his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who said that when he was back in Khaslavich, that's where in White Russia, where he was a Rav, so the Balkori said that there's one guy in the shul, I don't want him to be Yotzi with my career. He made such a declaration.
Because of Rav Bergus.
So the guy came to, he was Bergus. So the guy came to Rav Moshe and he said, what does that mean? I'm not Yotze? Because he says he's not Motzi me?
Yes.
So Rav Moshe says he Yotze anyway. Fascinating psak of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. And the way I understood it, again, this is many years ago, but Rav Moshe said that the kavana that the Shliach Tzibur has to have is to create a kriya. There's an entity called kriya. Again, it's very abstract, you can't touch it. It's not tangible. And that kriya, the whole tzibur links into it. Anyone who's part of the tzibur links into that kriya.
His
kavana is not for Reuven, Shimon, and Levi.
But
rather, his kavana is to create an entity which is called, it's a halachic entity, a legal entity, called kriyas hatzibur. Once he creates that entity called Kriyas HaTzibur, anyone who hears the Kriyas HaTzibur links up into that entity called Kriyas HaTzibur. He plugs in, so to speak. So it's not that when I blow the shofar, I have to have you in mind or you in mind. I have to create the kol of a shofar. And that kol shofar is now accessible to anyone. I come along and I say, you know what, I don't like your nose. I don't want you to be Yotzi with my kol shofar. Rav Moshe says it's meaningless. And the same thing would apply to Kriyas HaMegillah.
What happens if If you say you don't
again, it's very abstract.
You don't know how to.
You have to be a salvation.
You don't know how to blow
what?
Your tachinus are no good.
What do you say?
Your tachinus are no good. Therefore, I'm not your say. I'm not your tachinus. I think that your tachinus are no good.
Well, that's something else. The listener, you mean?
Yeah,
the listener does not want to be yotze with my tekiyas? He's out. Wait, let's go slowly. With regard to the shomea, his kavana is an absolute prerequisite. It's in, you know, it's indispensable. With regard to the mashmia, there's some sort of new concept of kavana, according to Rav Moshe, which is called kavana to create a kol shofar on behalf of the tzibur.
But wait, that
and therefore you don't have to have in mind so anybody. And even if you have a negative kavana, you don't want Floney. You want to, you know, this is your way of taking revenge against him. You know, he messed you up because he promised he would sell you a dira, and then he backed out of the deal. Okay, so then, you can see where my head is. You know, but so even so, he's yotze, whether you like it or not. But again, he has to have kavana to be yotze. That's for sure.
According to the Moshe, I have this question: why on earth do we have to create this extra thing? And actually, my question is: who are we to create this extra environment? And very simple, if you look at what we say on Rosh Hashanah, there's the whole thing in Tefillah that, you know, it's better to be judged by a Sibor, even the Karbanis and everything. So this concept of Shmiah is already created outside, exclusive from Shofar. Right. Why do we need this extra?
Right. In general, I guess you could say.
So what about Birkas Kohanim? I don't like Tony down there. I don't want my bracha to go.
Going to Rabbi Moshe, it's irrelevant. Do you create a bracha? Anyone who listens to the bracha is yotze. Again, there's something called Shomer Kohanim. Now let's get back to your apple question. Let's say we're three people sitting at the table. And George, you're going to eat the apple. And Yisrael's going to eat the apple. I'm going to eat my apple. Everyone's going to eat their apple. And we appoint you, George, you're going to make the bracha bar priates on behalf of us. And you say, you know what? I'll be motzi everyone in this room with my bar priates, with the exception of Ploni Almoni. That guy, I don't want him to be yotze. In such a case, that person would not be yotze. You know why? Because you're not a shliach tzibur. You are not creating a bracha on behalf of the tzibur. Shliach tzibur is very specific. You know, we can enumerate cases X, Y, and Z, and that's where there's a concept of shliach tzibur. In Birchas Hanenim, there's no such thing as a tzibur. Ain't such thing. It's just a bunch of individuals.
Even if you
invited a million Jews, you know, every last right. Jew in the state of Israel, right. It would still not be a tzibur. Every person has his own personal individual chiyuv before he eats the apple to make a bracha. There's no common link here between me and you.
You want to
be motzi me? I could be yotzi. You had kavana, I had kavana, and we're fine. But you want to be motzi me and not him? He can't be yotzi. With all due respect to his kavanas.
What about Havdalah?
Interesting. That's a fascinating question. Whether Havdalah has the status of tzibur. I don't know. I'd really have to. That has to. But Birchas Kohen would be a tzibur halacha, and Chazar Sashatz, and Kriyas HaMegillah. And whenever you find that there's a halacha of tzibur, then. But let's say Kiddush on Friday night, and maybe that's closer to your case of Havdalah. Okay. You know what? Let's turn the clock back 24 hours. No, wait. Israel, you're brilliant. You're a step ahead of me. Let's go show. You're at my table on Friday night, or I'm at your table, whoever it is, doesn't matter. And the Makadesh says that he wants everyone to be yotze around his table except for one person. He excludes that person. I would say that person is not yotze. Because I am not a shliach tzibur. There's no such thing as a tzibur with regard to Kiddush. Havdalah might be different.
What?
Because that's what Yisrael was asking me. What about Kiddush and Shul? You see, we here in Eretz Yisrael, it's rare. But in Chutz Lartz, we had it. Did you had it?
Yeah.
You had it?
I had it in Tel Aviv also. I had it.
Oh, in Tel Aviv they also?
My son Shul in Tel Aviv.
You know, it could be that in Tel Aviv, the reason, again, I'm not trying to Chas Shalom be judgmental. I have nothing against Tel Aviv. But I think it could be the reason they do it in Tel Aviv is, again, I could be dead wrong about this, I'm just taking a guess, that it could be they know that there are people in the audience who might not be making kiddush. For whatever reason, they're not making kiddush.
So even like,
you know what I mean? And better that we should reinstitute the old minhag of chutz laaretz here in Eretz Yisrael than jeopardize the possibility that one or more than one people will not be yotze the mitzvah kiddush. But wait a minute. Let's assume that we have the minhag of chutz laaretz, Tel Aviv or in chutz laaretz, right? Where are you from, Johannesburg? Johannesburg. We're back in Johannesburg, okay? For a visit. Early on a visit. We got a free ticket because we have the right connections, right? So we get to Johannesburg and it's Friday night and it's in shul and they make kiddush. And the Mekadesh has in mind to be motzi everyone with the exception of Ploni. Is it now a din of tzibur? Are we just a collection of individuals? Or, insofar as the takana was to recite kiddush in shul, we're not just a collection of individuals.
It's a kahal.
It's a tzibur. This is the extension of tefillah. The kiddush itself is the clincher of tefillah. Meaning, see, there are two ways of understanding. One way is to say is the kiddush is coincidentally made in shul at the end of the tefillah because, you know, people are guests and they might not have this or whatever it might be. People are living in the shul. You know, back in the day that people slept in the shul. Fine. Then the relationship between kiddush and tefillah is purely coincidental. But there's another way of saying it. No, it's not coincidental. Kiddush itself is the last part of tefillah. And just like with regard to tefillah, we form a tzibur, so too with regard to kiddush, we form a tzibur. And the same question, now getting back to your question, is Havdalah. Havdalah is the end of Ma'ariv. And I'll tell you what the nafkamina would be.
Whoa.
Fascinating. I didn't prepare this for today, but when should we say Olam? Olam, the Taz, you heard of the Taz? The Terezov? The Taz, who lived about four centuries ago, the Taz was of the opinion that Olam should be recited at the very end. Like, for example, when we recite Sfira, the Taz advocates that Sfira should be recited before Olam. I don't think that's our opinion, but that was the Taz.
There was a minhag that didn't allow Olam.
What, in general, didn't allow Aleinu?
I think that's why Aleinu was at the end of the shul.
Well, I don't know.
So there was a minute.
The Taz says that Aleinu is on your way out. Why?
On the way out.
Why is Aleinu on the way out? Because Aleinu, in those days, the Jews went out into paganistic societies where they worshipped idols and everything. And again, it's hard for us to understand why there's any allurement, you know, or gravitational pull to worship an idol. To us, it seems like the most ridiculous thing. But you should know, Avodah Zarah still exists in some parts of the world, even today, as wild as that sounds. But back in the day, it was a very strong Yetzahara for Avodah Zarah. And the street, you know, we say the gas, you know, the street had a tremendous influence towards Avodah Zarah. And Olenu is basically a tefillah to give us chizuk, to strengthen us when we go out into that society, not to in any way be influenced by idol worship. So in any event, the Taz, again, I don't want to get too far off on this, but the Taz is of the opinion that Olenu is recited after tefillah is over. It's
the last because
it is an introduction to going out into the marketplace, into the shuk, and being exposed to those influences. Is Mimela, when should we recite Olenu, on Friday night or Motzi Shabbos? Should we push off Olenu to after Kiddush? Or after Havdalah? Well, no. Let's make Olenu and then recite Kiddush. Kiddush just coincidentally happens to be in the synagogue because maybe there are people sleeping in the synagogue, whatever it might be. Havdalah is coincidentally in the synagogue. It's just logistically the most feasible way of guaranteeing that we all hear Havdalah because people are going here, going there. You have people who have families, people who don't have families. You know, you have bachelors, bachelorettes. You know, they may not hear Havdalah. Let them hear Havdalah in shul, but it's not part of tefillah. And the nafkamina would be not just when you recite Olenu. That's not if a Rav had that shaila, he doesn't have to sit shiva the kiyum, to paskin such a shaila. It's not mechumras. But the nafkamina would be whether or not the Mekadesh in shul or the Mavdil in shul is a shliach tzibur. Does he have this
part?
According to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, once we upgrade him to the status of of a shliach tzibur, then his kavana is simply to create a kiddush, to create a havdalah that's accessible to the tzibur. He doesn't have to think about Reuven, about Shimon, about Levi. But if, on the other hand, we're going to recite a later before kiddush, we're going to recite a later before havdalah because tefillah is already ended, and this kiddush and this havdalah has nothing to do with tefillah, and therefore the status of the mekadesh and the mavdil is anything but that of a status of a shliach tzibur, then it's simply a din of yotze motzi of shomei kohanah. You want to listen and link up to mind that you have to have. I have to have you in mind, you have to have me in mind, and we have to work together in unison. It's not just creating something for the team.
No, but wait, Shomer, because right. For me, I've always had a very personal thing. A, because I'm single, and B, because I'm now living alone in Eretz Yisrael. Like, in the States, I always knew you made Havdalah and Shul, and then you made home. My father did her.
Right.
I did whatever it is, and actually, Rabbi said from Lower East Side, they once asked me to make Havdalah a few times in Shul, whatever it is. I said, if you can make it at home, don't make it in Shul. And he was, like, very mocking with that. I don't know, but, sometimes here, wherever I am, Motzei Shabbos, it's like a general rule. I've usually been making it at home on my... at home on my own anyway, but then I hear it in shul.
There's no need to make it.
But sometimes my kavana is not really
full fledged.
Yeah, it's not.
But hopefully, whoever's making Abdullah has you in mind.
No, but that's but then we seem to be saying from this mitzvah, like shofar, it's clear the person has to have full intent to be yotze and the baal tokiah. So now I'm asking in Abdullah, if my kavana is not full fledged once or twice, do I now have to make it at home again, let's say, because
I would say like this, Yisrael, I think that in Hilchos Kavana we have principles called Chazaka or Umdun. I don't know if you're familiar with those concepts. Meaning, if on a regular basis you listen to Avdol, and every Motzei Shabbos, that could create an automatic chazaka, meaning you don't have to actually have to think out, right, could kick in. Why? Because it's a standard arrangement, whereas every sequentially every Motzei Shabbos you listen to Avdol. Again, there may be Motzei Shabbos is where you get invited here, or you're away for Shabbos or whatever, but as a general rule you listen to the Mavdil. That Chazok establishes that you have Kavon. You don't have to actually think out the Kavon. That could be a
So why is the
Aleinu Lesabeach? George, remind me, what do we do after Mishnayis? What about Rambam Hilchos Tshuva?
Let's rather do Mishnah Berurah. What's the Nafka Mina now on Kiddush Levona? You say Aleinu Lesabeach after Kiddush Levona.
I would say for sure Aleinu should come before Kiddush Levona. Now you're asking why do we say it again? Yeah.
So then maybe Kiddush Levona is part of the Tefillah again.
Right, only because of the Kaddish. Meaning, and let's say there was no Kaddish, then there would be no Aleinu either. The Aleinu is only because Kaddish links us up as a tzibur. Okay, we're getting way off. Okay, we'll say. Let me just
going back to Abdullah.